Thank you, church, for your songs of unity, your voices, this singing over us, Lord, I need you, and reflecting on how he fills our lungs, and then these Freedom Session testimonies of how we can breathe deeper as we surrender more and more of our life to the Lord Jesus Christ and recognizing his truth and how his truth sets us free. Are we getting there? Amen? Amen? Yeah? All right. Yeah. So, you willing to tackle something tough, difficult? How patient are you? Who's willing to pray for patience? Some of you put your hands up. Some of you don't know. There's an unwritten rule. You never pray for patience. Never, because the Lord will give you opportunity after opportunity to work on your patience, right? And yet, the fruit of the Spirit of God at your in your life, one of the top characters named in Galatians 5:22 is what? Patience. Combine patient endurance. Man, that's someone really patient. Do you need patient endurance for your life? Yes? We got one confessed sinner right over here. Anybody else? Do you need patient endurance in your life? Okay. Now, how many of us over the next 2 months are willing to work on it? Do I get an amen? Okay, a little bit less half-hearted. I want to see where this goes before I commit to anything. I know how this works, but just make sure you don't continually stay there. If you say, well, I'm really going to process this later. If you're actually saying that, hold yourself to that. That otherwise, say, I'm in and let's go for it. I recognize some of us enter the pool differently. Some of us, you know, you put the toe in and then a little bit. And some of us are just diver-inners. Oh, that's probably might describe how you're willing to enter into this. But my encouragement is in whatever the process God has made you to enter into new things, may you come with a willing heart of surrender. And that's why we're here, and this is why we proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ and the scriptures set apart for us, the word of God to guide us in life, is we come under them, we surrender under them, that God would be guiding us, bringing new freedom and joy, grace and peace. That's my prayer for us. And that's also Peter's prayer in this letter. So my family just finished reading a great dinner time devotional called Love Does by Bob Goff. And it's Love Does for Kids. He's written a number of great books. In one of his books, Bob writes, I'm always in a hurry. I put on my socks two at a time. I lace up my tennis shoes while I run to save a couple of minutes. I order sushi at restaurants so I don't have to wait for them to cook the fish. And I don't even like sushi. When I'm not in a hurry, I spend my time being impatient. Anybody can connect to this? He concludes this. He says, it's so extreme, sometimes I think I make coffee nervous. I've just earlier in the service publicly confessed how people in my life have pointed out impatience. And I humbly come before you to bring God's word that he will be instructing us in the letter of 2 Peter and in growing this characteristic of patient endurance in your life and in mine. So, 1 Peter tends to get a lot more of the press than 2 Peter. How many have ever heard a sermon or a sermon series on 2 Peter? Okay, I see one hand. Okay, so this is a really untapped book of the scriptures, which is, you know, if you're willing to engage and learn and grow, wow, let's dig into this book. So a little bit about where we're going this morning. So it's the intro to this book as we're doing a book study on 2 Peter and patient endurance. So brief introduction to the letter of 2 Peter. Then we're going to go through and open up the introductory first 11 verses of Peter's letter. And thirdly, we'll reflect on what God wants us to be filling our buckets with over the next 2 months of the series. So you may have looked at this bucket, and there's more to come on the bucket. So if you've noticed, we have a place for sermon series notes, an insert in the bulletin. Feel free to use that if you would like. So, introduction to 2 Peter to begin. So, authorship, dating, audience, and purpose. Who do you think wrote this letter? Peter! Oh, you guys are good! How did you know? Oh, the title says Peter. Oh, okay. Oh, in the opening verse, it says it was written by Peter. Okay, got it. And yet, there are a number of historical and literary critics who claim Peter didn't write it. So let me just talk you through that. The language used has some significant differences than in 1 Peter. It seems that the reason that there were so many doubts about any letters attached to Peter's name in the early centuries were because Gnostic false teachers were circulating letters claiming high authority, so they were putting Peter's name on it to try to gain acceptance of their false doctrines. Consequently, the Orthodox Church was suspicious of any letters attributed to Peter. Also, critics conclude that an ancient legitimate practice of writing, pseudepigraphy, good luck spelling that one, pseudepigraphy, was used to write the letter. Pseudepigraphy. I sometimes get accused of using big words. There you go. There's a good one. Pseudepigraphy was an ancient practice where someone poses as a person to write something in their place as if they were the original person. Now, this was not, as we would take it, as like false lying, but it was a common practice that was accepted in the ancient world. So while informing you of these concerns, there are a number of strong reasons why we can, in faith and confidence, attribute this letter to the Apostle Peter. So addressing the different language used can be attributed to his literary assistance in his help and scribe of 1 Peter. 1 Peter 5:12, I'll read it. I have written and sent this short letter to you with the help of Silas, whom I commend to you as a faithful brother. So 1 Peter recognizes the help of Silas, not recognized in 2 Peter. So two separate letters he sent that we have recorded in the scriptures. A Bible commentator, Charles Big, astutely writes, the habit of verbal repetition in 2 Peter is therefore quite as strongly marked in the first epistle of Peter as well as the second. So there are similarities of thought that are continually repeated, and also similarities of thought between the two letters. Fruits of redemption and testing, inspiration of Scripture, and the second coming of Christ. And he sums it up by saying, no document in the New Testament is so like 1 Peter as 2 Peter. Not to mention the most supreme provision, God's guidance knitting together the scriptures to teach us about him, us, and our role in the world and how to see life in eternity. So based on that, there's a number of strong reasons we can accept in confidence Peter's authorship of the letter. But I thought it's good to be informed about pieces of how people are engaging here. So author, we got it, Peter. Audience, dating. So what a privilege to have Peter's final will and testament. It says, verse 13, it's only right that I should keep on reminding you as long as I live, for our Lord Jesus Christ has shown me that I must soon leave this earthly life. So right here we have in this letter Peter's really essentially his final will and testament. So we know approximately when he died,
And so we can establish a date between 64 and 68 AD. And the audience, verse 2, I'm writing to you who share the same precious faith we have. This faith was given to you because of the justice and fairness of Jesus Christ, our God and Savior. So this letter, reading commentaries, was dispersed to the churches of Asia Minor, presumably to a very Gentile audience. And he's recognizing, hey, in light of the gospel, we are on the same plane. We share the same precious faith we have. Like the ESV version, it says, to those who have obtained a faith of equal standing with ours, how do we gain it? By grace, by the righteousness of God through Jesus Christ, our God and Savior. So we got dating, we got audience, we got author, finally purpose and content in our overview. So 2 Peter has the future in mind. The thrust is that Peter wants to ensure that we get to heaven. He wants to ensure that we get to heaven. What kind of what's most important on someone's deathbed? Have you ever been there? Have you been there with those saints who've gone before us, who in their final days, final weeks, final months, what's most important to them? It's their faith, right? And their relationships. Everything is clarified. As important as our sports teams are and how they're doing, they're not as important. As important as current reading is going on, not as important. It's relationships and eternity that is of most importance when it comes to our final moments. And approaching death's door creates such a clarity in the human experience that we often lose sight of. And thankfully, we have Peter's letter here. He's facing death's door. Death is imminent. And it's not through his own means. He is going to be crucified for his faith. And he is of such conviction that he is unwilling to be crucified the way his Lord Jesus was. It is said throughout church history, it's been passed down, that he was crucified upside down because he was not worthy to be crucified in the same way as his Lord and his God. So throughout this letter, Peter orients us to the future. I'm just going to blitz through this. 2 Peter 2:9, the Lord knows how to rescue the godly. 3:4, where is Christ's promise coming? He's addressing the future second coming of Christ. 3:7, there will be a day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. 3:10, the day of the Lord will come quickly, and heaven and earth will pass away, and our deeds will be exposed. 3:12, be waiting, be ready. The old heaven and earth will be burned up. 3:13, we look forward to the new heavens and new earth he has promised, a world filled with God's righteousness. 3:14, dear friends, while you're waiting, be diligent in your holiness. There's at least 10 explicit references to the future day of the Lord. Jesus is coming back with power. He will bring judgment. He will take Christians to a new heaven and a new earth. Beware of false teachers, skeptics that say God isn't at work in the world, skeptics that say Christ is not coming back, skeptics that say, live however you want to live, for tomorrow we die, and it makes no difference. Interestingly, sounds a lot like today, doesn't it? A lot of messages that we encounter. So Peter ultimately wants to orient us to live now in light of the future. How to live with the end in mind to prepare us for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And how satisfying is it when we live our lives with purpose to recognize how to live in a way where this now matters greatly? Alcmaeon of Crotona, a philosopher and pupil of Pythagoras, he's believed to have been born around 510 BC. He said, men perish because they cannot join the end to the beginning. Alistair MacIntyre, a modern-day philosopher, in his book After Virtue writes, "I can only answer the question, what am I to do, if I can answer the prior question of what story or stories do I find myself a part of?" What story or stories do I find myself a part of? Peter, in his final will and testament, orients us to live now in light of the future coming day of Christ's return. So we are talking about wonderfully important things in life, and to think you could have missed this, and to think of all that we're going to be talking about. We as a staff, we read through 2 Peter out loud. It took us about 15 minutes, and we talked about, well, what are you most looking forward to digging in, or what most stood out to you? My encouragement is to be a good student of the Word. As we've talked about before, the hermeneutical circle, you have to understand the whole to understand each part. And then you have to understand each part to understand the whole. So my encouragement is, in over these next 2 months, to be reading this book, 2 Peter, a fair bit. It's small enough that you can read through it in a short period of time. Get familiar with it. Get a sense of the whole. That was the point of me also doing the introduction before we start digging in to the individual bits. So, second component is the opening verses of 2 Peter. We've talked about verse 1. Verse 2, may God give you more and more grace and peace as you grow in your knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. This is what he does. This is the gospel at work in our lives. And this verse 3, is this one highlighted in your Bible? It is so powerful. By his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. When you're in doubt, when you're afraid, when you're unsure of yourself, when you're not sure you're going to be able to pay that bill or make it through this health challenge or this friend crisis or this job uncertainty, by his divine power, God has given us everything that we need for living and for living a godly life. We've received all of this by coming to know Jesus, the one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. Because of his glory and excellence, he has given us great and precious promises. We have Jesus, we have his promises, and these are the promises that enable you to share his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. Another, in a freedom session context of just these testimonies that were being shared, he's given us what you need to make it through the tough things in life, to look at the hardest stuff and work through it, and to leave that which entangles us behind. So, in view of the grandness of Jesus Christ, our God and Savior and Lord, what testimony in these opening verses to who Jesus is, here is how you should live now. Verse 5 gets real practical. In view of all this, add to your faith. So here's the starting point, your faith. And we're going to see the climax at the end of this list is love. And in between are all these things you can add to your faith. And a climax in love, it's not necessarily a particular ordering in the middle, but it's the bookends that matter most in this list. So in view of all this, supplement your faith with a generous provision of moral excellence. And moral excellence with knowledge. And knowledge with self-control. And self-control with patient endurance. Hence, it's bold that this is the real character quality we're going to hone in and focus on these next 2 months. And patient endurance with godliness. And godliness with brotherly affection. And brotherly affection with love for everyone. In light of eternity, in the Lord Jesus' return, add to your faith patient endurance. That's the encouragement. Add to your faith patient endurance. Back to Bob Goff, the guy who makes coffee nervous. Bit of an extreme guy. Well, he found out that his impatience was apparently driving all the people around him nuts. Can you imagine that? Our impatience driving people crazy around us. That's weird. Must just be him, hey? Well, he read a children's book with a simple premise. Get a hold of this. We become in our lives what we put in our buckets. We become in our lives what we put in our buckets. Bob realized he needed to fill his bucket with patience. So being a pretty extreme guy, he went to the hardware store, bought a metal bucket, and he carried it around with him for 3 weeks everywhere he went. Business meetings, sailboats, cars, airplanes, the subway. You can only imagine. People would ask if he had a bladder problem. He would say, I have a bigger problem, impatience. I actually got a bit of an encounter in this because I inadvertently transferred the bucket in the foyer. And everybody's like, so what's going on with the bucket? You kick the bucket, taking urine samples in the bucket, chocolate milk, milk of the cow, milk of the goat, what's going on? So I got a little thank you for the experience of entering into the author of what he said. So he carried this around with him everywhere. Think of what we fill our lives with. What's your bucket full of? Our encouragement in this series is add to our lives patient endurance. Why? Well, as we said, we become in our lives what we put in our buckets. That's justification enough. And yet, 2 Peter has so many great further reasons, adding, continuing in our passage. Verse 8, the more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you will be in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why should you fill your bucket with patient endurance? Well, you're going to be more productive. You're going to be more useful in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thirdly, those who fail to develop in this way are short-sighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their old sins. Verse 9, forget this cleansing, this baptism in Christ that Jessica and Gracie have just reminded us of, our baptisms, our laying behind the old life, the new creation in Christ, cleansed of our former sins. Live in light of this. Do these things and you will never fall away. Then God will give you a grand entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Isn't this, I love this image that Annette has found others of this grand entrance, this doorway into eternity. It's art capturing the truth of the scriptures. Can you picture what that day will be like when you will get a grand entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, because of how Jesus has enabled you through his righteousness to get there? And that's why Peter focuses on get to heaven, ensure that you go there, and to be more productive and useful, add to your faith patient endurance. So lastly, how does God want us to be filling our buckets over the next 2 months? Back to Mr. Goff. Guy who makes coffee nervous, the galvanized bucket guy. Well, he got to preach a sermon, and he had to catch an airplane after the services, so he had to be able to, so he could be home with his family for watching the Super Bowl together. Well, he jumped in the rental car, bolted for the airport, and it was a tight squeeze. You know those times where you got to get there right? You don't have much time to get to the airport to catch your plane. Well, it was a tight transition, and he was dropping off the rental car, and he decided to go in the one rental car lane, and he got stuck in the line with an attendant who seemed to make a sloth look fast. He jingled his car keys. He tapped the dashboard. Then after 5 minutes, he let out an exasperated, "Really? Come on!" into his empty car. And as the other line moves along fast, at the height of his frustration, going to really let this guy have it, he looks over and he notices his bucket. So he begins to fill his bucket with patience. Fill it with patience. Fill it with patience. Finally, when he got to the attendant lumbered over towards him. Glaciers move faster than this guy. The attendant opened the door and asked, "How was your rental car experience?" Having now missed his flight and having had 25 minutes to fill his bucket with patience, he was a man with more grace and peace. And he responded, "I had a great time. The car was awesome. You're awesome. Airplanes are awesome. Life is awesome. I hope you have a great day." He later reflected, "I didn't even recognize myself. It was like there was a ventriloquist with their hand up my shirt and was making my mouth move and say things for me." He had a bucket filled with patience. As we started talking, or as he started walking across the terminal to book his new flight, the parking lot attendant lumbered over towards him and said, "Hey, I just want you to know." And he paused to catch his breath. "That was a great sermon you gave at church today." Gulp. Oh, man. Each of you are giving a sermon every day to the lives of the people around you of who our Lord Jesus Christ is, the extents of his love. So I don't think many of us have the panache or pizzazz to carry around a giant bucket. If you do, all the power to you. Go to Willis Harper, borrow this bucket from the Bronze, and I'd love to hear your stories. But for the rest of us, we have a little gift. Invite the ushers to come forward with this gift. We have little tiny buckets. We have a little bucket for your keychain. So we got about 200 of these. So everybody take one. And if somebody really needs one who's not here, you can ask at the welcome desk. I think Terry Law will be there. So put this in a place where you'll see it. May it be an encouragement to you over the next 2 months of how this character quality of patient endurance is something that not just Peter instructs to you to add to your faith, not just Dave is giving to you or your church is giving to you, but this is something the Lord Jesus Christ wants you to grow in your life. So you got to grab one, use it, place it how you will, and envision this picture. We're going to hold this picture in front of us for the next 2 months. What it will be like to enter with awe the grandness of eternity into the eternal kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. May our lives live like that now in light of our future destination with Christ. We're still passing out those keychains.
It's gonna be interesting seeing what the Lord's gonna do with these things in your heart. I'd love to hear your stories. Send me emails and whatnot. It'd be great.